as soon as you do something with your life, you're gonna have, even if you don't do anything with your life, you're gonna have haters. Messianic Jew believing in Jesus, Yeshua, is like minority of a minority. It was difficult, but how can they say all day long, holy, holy, holy? That sounds really boring, right? But if you change it and say, they're singing it and they say, holy, holy, you can do it almost forever.
Motivated and underrated, I feel elated when I touch the stage, everybody going crazy. I'm hip to the game, so don't you try to play me.
Welcome to Yoel's Hangouts Podcast. I'm your host, Yoel. We got a special guest, Emmanuel Roro. He's actually my cousin. He's a worship leader here in Israel. He has a lot of interesting stories to tell us, an interesting perspective, being a follower of Jesus, as well as being, you know, ethnically Jewish like myself. I think it's going to be an interesting and educational episode, but we're going to first open up with a prayer. You have the honors.
Yeah, thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for my dear cousin, brother. And thank you for having the platform to just share our life, share our story, share how you touched our life, my life, and show that and to other people that you're still moving. Yeah, in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we opened up with a lot of heat, you know, a lot of an interesting, ooh. I mean, the majority of my audience, I would say, is American. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the perspective that they have, you know, they don't understand the whole dynamic of the ethnic aspect of being Jewish, the religious aspect of being Jewish,
yeah,
as well as how that plays in with Jesus. So we can start there and then we'll get into kind of your story. So what do you think, what is that dynamic and how does it play a role? Like, how can you be Jewish as well as follow Jesus?
Yeah, the question that always comes to people like me, when we Jewish people that follows Jesus, Yeshua, it's like, how can you be a Jewish person and follow Jesus? It's like, isn't it contradicting itself? As I'm like answering them, how you can be a Jewish person and not follow Jesus? Jesus is a Jew. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's one of us, our people. And through the history, he never came to invent any new religion. And I see it as a messianic Jewish follower of Jesus, that he was the natural continuation of the Old Testament, of the Torah, of the Nevi'im, of the Ketuvim. He was the one that to just fulfill all of it. And he's part of our people, and he's not that far thing. He's the king of the Jews. Also, he's the king of all the world. But first of all, he's the king of the Jewish people.
Facts. I love your seductive tone right now. Oh, it's a very low energy podcast. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So what do you call it? So in Israel, you know, obviously I'm playing dumb for the educational reasons. I'm really, really smart usually, you know, genius level. So what are you called in Israel? Like what do people call you?
Yeah, some people will just call me Christian, which is like Nutzri, which is like, it has a bad continuation, like connotation. I mean, when you say that you are a Christian, it has so much heaviness to that, because it also removes your Jewish identity. Mm. It takes it off, like it's like something that stopped, and now all the Jewishness, you just threw it to the trash, and mm-hmm. now you're just like, you just converted.
It doesn't tell the full story.
Yeah, converted. And also the you have the all the history that plays a big role of Christians through the history persecuting Jews, killing them, try to convert them by force, which is, of course, they're coming by the name of and doing it by the name of Jesus, which is like, actually, that's the real blasphemy for his name, coming and saying that he sent you and acting in the way that he didn't never intend you to do in the first place is just, for me, I find it crazy and insane. And that's one of the things that today just push back and make people doesn't want to get to that forbidden character of Jesus. It's like something this guy And those people that he's, those Christians who killed my parents, grandparents, they want to kill me also. So
yeah,
that's one of the things.
And this might be a shock to a lot of people that are in America because they don't know the dynamic. But that's kind of how it is, like the vibe that there's a lot of lack of understanding, mm-hmm. and the understanding that there is usually pretty negative.
Yeah.
But it's funny, I thought of a lot of things when you just said that. Like, I would probably say one of the things, if you study history, I studied a lot of this history, especially before I came here,
yeah.
just to have an understanding. And like, what comes to mind is the Crusades and then the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah.
But one thing that people don't know is they were actually killing Christians too.
Yeah.
Protestants. Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's something. So it was usually all about, I mean, I'm speaking for the Spanish Inquisition standpoint, but that just kind of tells the story of the motive, right? Which is they just want obedience and submission to the authority of the Pope at the time. Right. But that being said, it's one aspect to hold a whole lot of things, which is if you do not like Jews, then you didn't read the Bible.
Yeah.
Like that's one of many cues you have not read the Bible. Mm. If you have any sort of, let alone want to hurt, let alone if you don't actually respect the Jewish people more than others, you probably have not read the Bible. Not that you should respect other people more than you should love everybody, you know? But that's like a really good sign that they have not read the Bible. Yeah. If you have any sort of negative feelings towards Jewish people.
Yeah. And of course, I'm not saying putting the Jewish people on a pedestal and saying, yeah, they are the whole, many people, like many Christians actually, do it. Like,
they do.
And they
in
put
America.
Like, and they come and they put and idolize actually the Jewish people and Israelis. Yes. They're God chosen people. God, chose them for a specific mission for him, like for his vision and everything, but we don't need to over idolize
we're all
them.
The same,
because you know. We just hope all human beings, and of course it shows Israel to be light into the nations, and through the seed of Abraham you're going to bless all the nation, and he did it through Jesus Yeshua, which blessed everybody. I want to go back and answer how people, I just gave the first part, how I think people sees me like as a Christian or something, but many people will, some accept my real identity as a Messianic Jew, just like a Jew that accepted Jesus as his Messiah,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah that all the Jewish, like the people that believes in, of course religious, and some people that believe in the Bible, are waiting for, longing for this Messiah to come. I believe he already came 2,000 years ago. And some of them will accept that I'm a Messianic Jew. I'm a follower of Jesus. He's my Messiah, my personal savior. And yeah.
No, it's funny. when you're talking about how sometimes they put Jewish people on a pedestal, not that this lady was, but even today, we met an amazing, kind, loving, adorable, like 4'7" Filipino, I think. She was
at Singapore.
Singapore, excuse me. She was from Singapore and she was traveling, and this is one of her many stops. She quit her job. She was making, like she said, $100,000 a month.
It's crazy.
Like a crazy job in Hong Kong. And she was like, yeah, God just spoke to me. Like I dropped everything and now I'm just traveling and spreading the word. And she was like, she had her Bible there. Like, I'm like, she's obviously smart. Like, she's making 100,000. So I was like, she's like, this is the best Bible. I was like, this looks thicker than like a normal one. Bro, like, dude, you're like, she seemed very smart. I was like, I'm just going to go with the regular. Yeah, like in my brain,
noticed,
I was
that's like, how I noticed her. Like walking like in this like, market and like seeing like huge Bible. And was like, that Bible? Yeah.
It's cool to see. And like,
yeah.
And she was like, you know, it's just amazing to be here because in the Bible, like these are, you know, this is God's chosen people. Like they're just incredible people. And I just have it in my heart to spread. So it's like the perspective, I think a lot of Americans might be like, okay, cool. Like that makes sense. But a lot of people maybe in Israel would be like, wait, a Christian, someone that identifies as Christian coming over here that loves us, that you know, wants... I think like there's such an interesting dynamic there that I think people don't talk about.
That's huge. And actually I have a personal testimony. I remember every Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot is like October, like the season of the year. You know, in the Bible, there's like three different holidays that all nations came to Jerusalem. You know, they came on Passover, they came on the Feast of Pentecost, and they came on the Feast of Sukkot, which is Feast of the Tabernacles. And the International Christian Embassy, Jerusalem, they had a big event where they gathered thousands of people from all over the world to come and worship in Jerusalem, and just spend time of teaching, traveling, but spending time like in worship and prayer. And I remember coming to their youth day, and it was like, I was 14. It was my first time going out of my home community in the city I grew up in. And then I went there for the first time as a Messianic Jew. Never met any like other Christian or from all over the world or whatever. And then I remember getting there, and then suddenly seeing few Christians coming to me, just like people from random places coming to me and asking, "Hey, where are you from?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm from Israel." I was like, "Oh, that's cool. What is your identity?" "Yeah, you're from Israel?" They just hugged me. And just like, they were hyped about me. I wasn't hyped about myself that much, but they were like, "No way." And they were like hugging me, showing me so much love. And I was like, wow, there are some people that have the same faith like I have, and they love me. And like, I have like a big family around there, because, you know, growing up in Israel as a follower of Jesus can be sometimes challenging, especially socially. We are not
and
a majority.
And by the way, understandably a little bit, because again, Jewish people, especially Ashkenaz, but all around the world, have had a very difficult, you know, history with outsiders. And even now with Israel, with the bordering countries, the war. So someone being different is not always the first reaction. Isn't always, "Yeah, come here, we love you." Like, no, like sometimes they're going to be a little bit apprehensive because of the history, because of what's going on, the conflict. It's not an easy situation here.
No, not at all. Because imagine yourself being, of course, a minority believing in Jesus, which is like mostly the parents, the first generation, usually are not going to push you to talk about it too much.
Yeah.
You need to leave it for your home and for the church, but not talking too much about it in school or whatever, because they're just scared, you know. Yeah. They don't know what is about to happen. You know, the younger generation is more open now. I share with everybody and do whatever, but it's like, it's like, again, for me, for personally, it was harder game, because I was also Ethiopian, which is a minority in Israel.
Yeah.
And also being Messianic Jew, believing in Jesus, Yeshua, is like minority of a minority. So it was difficult, but, you know, as I grew up and I saw socially how it can, you know, you can work things out and,
With understanding, you know,
yeah.
With doing stuff like this, you know, educating people. So
exactly.
One of the things that I want to talk about, because one of the things that people may not understand, it's like, okay, you're Jewish.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? I think we should talk about maybe a little bit of like, okay, the holidays, you know, Shabbat, you know, all of these things that are more cultural that other people identify when they say they're Jewish. Rather than necessarily being like, okay, we're still waiting for our Messiah, which is really the only distinction, I would say.
Yeah.
And not as much the oral law.
Mm-hmm. And you know, as if you look on Jewish people in Israel, and you will look of, for instance, Jewish people outside of Israel, whatever, in the States, for instance, even Messianic Jews in Israel, Messianic Jews in the States, you will see that Jewish people in Israel, most of them are not trying to really, some of them, yeah, are religious, and the most of them, but if you have like the secular population, they're not trying so hard to show their Jewish identity. They are just Jewish. Yeah. They were born Jewish. It's something about their ethnicity, but they're not trying to show it through cultural things and through different, holidays. Of course, they will have like, when they have Passover, they're going to have the Passover meal, and they're going to, you know, enjoy with the family and spend time. You know, Jewish people just love eating every holiday. Every holiday is just an opportunity to eat something. But if I look like on first American Jewish or like Jewish outside of Israel, they will have their cultural things even strong, they will hold their cultural influences even more closer. Like if you go to Messianic Jewish congregation in Israel, you won't see that so many. There are some, but so many people using all the Jewish traditional, it's like, for instance, yarmulke, different things. Because there was like, we're in Israel. We're Jewish people. We speak Hebrew. We don't need to show that we are Jewish.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you go to the United States, you will see it's more a formal. Lot of people showing those specific things. I'm not saying it's better or good. Of course. But I'm just saying that the cultural thing and your Jewishness can be affected by the country and where you are. And also, I believe that the most Jewish thing to do and by you living your life is to get to know the Jewish God, the Jewish, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and read your Bible and explore who he really is. Not just like hold on to those cultural things, because many people just go to those cultural things and Passover and they remember a little bit of the stories, but not really believe in that, but never really open the Bible for themselves or even know what it's all about.
Yeah.
The roots of everything.
Well, I think if don't get me wrong, maybe I'm wrong about this. The Torah, primarily people, the they have the kids read, and if you're in like Orthodox community,
mm-hmm.
they have the kids read, and then it goes into the additional text, the Talmud, and more of like the oral laws or like the rabbis, debating is mm-hmm. essentially what the Talmud is, kind of having discussions. So I think the Torah is a little bit of kind of left behind, and certain things are certain books within, because the Bible is a collection of books actually. So certain books within it are actually left out.
Yeah. To be honest, I can answer that. Because
I mean, we're not professional, we don't.
Yeah,
we're
for
just,
sure.
Yeah. We're just.
For sure. For sure.
Personal experience.
I grew up from first grade to sixth grade, I was in a Orthodox Jewish school. Mm. So I was a Messianic Jew in my home, learning about Jesus. And I didn't know really about too much about him. I just know the character Yeshua. He was like part of my life since childhood. But when I went to school, we're just opening every morning with our Siddur, which is a prayer book, a Jewish prayer book. Everybody knows.
I think that's like the white one.
Yeah, they're like different colors, but yeah.
Okay.
White one, yeah. I remember it was white, and you had like Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. You had like three prayers a day, like different, like for the morning. So when we got in the morning, we were praying together the prayer, and like I was going to school every day with a yarmulke. And
beautiful culture, by the way.
Yeah, yeah,
it's such a beautiful, the Orthodox culture is like, it's very beautiful.
And actually my parents loved it that we studied there, because that place was just really good values, in a so liberal world.
Discipline too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like every morning you open the siddur and you pray, something that young kid,
it's, they don't do.
Yeah. Yeah. And also sometimes even singing, and it was like really influential for me. And so we were studying the Old Testament in school, like the Bible, stories in the Bible about Abraham, about Egypt, about about the judges, about the kings, about the prophets. And we would go test of that. And I haven't been going too much with that, as we, and a little bit of, we were learning a little bit of the oral law. Oral law is the additional thing that came afterward, that mostly when somebody says that he's learning the Torah, and an ultra-Orthodox Jew or Orthodox Jew says that he's learning the Torah, he means that he learns the oral law, Talmud and everything. And we touched it really little when we were young, but as soon as you go to the, like I believe seventh grade, eighth grade, like when you just high school time, they're really going deep. I wasn't there. My sister went to that school. I just shifted as soon as I finished sixth grade. I went to the secular school. But I just know that they put more emphasis on the oral law, which is more of a let's say some of the things there can be really solid on paper for what is written in the Bible, but some things can really go a different direction and just have opinion of different rabbis, and they have it's a huge world, you know. We cannot put it on, you know, saying on one foot
in one sentence, like summarizing.
Because
it's big.
It's big.
It's huge. It's big. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to transition it more towards kind of your upbringing, because you're a worship leader, which is something that is unique here. But, you know, you travel a lot, you know, you go to different congregations. Yeah. You've been blessed to kind of have a fruitful career doing that. Mm. He's an amazing artist, singer, performer. Like, you should see him up there. He's like, you know, rock star up there. How did that end up starting? Like, this kind of just popped into your head, like someone gave you the idea, or like, how did it start?
How did it start? It's hard to pinpoint, but I remember one moment that is sticked in my head. I mean, I think I was 6 years old, something like that. My mom had went to a prayer meeting with her like congregation friends and everything. They were like, and I was like, I don't know. I wanted to go with her there. I don't know. I was like fighting. As soon as I got there, there was one room, small room with a keyboard. And I just left everything and I went to that room. And they were like praying outside. And I remember playing, turning on the keyboard and just playing nonsense. There was like, you know, where you have a keyboard and you can play something and it's going to play by itself.
Yeah.
And I was, I turned it on and then I played over it. And I remember myself just worshiping God. Being 6 years old, I didn't know anything about playing the keys and just worship God. And that picture, until today, I remember that picture because it was like honest, real worship moment to God. And I believe that that moment, something light up in my heart. I remember growing up, and then in my congregation where I grew up, we didn't have live worship, like Hebrew worship. We had like the Ethiopian Amharic worship in my congregation, which is like Ethiopian community, but we didn't have the Hebrew worship going on. We just sang a cappella, or just put a CD and sang with a CD.
Oh wow.
That's what we did.
Early.
But yeah, that's crazy. And I remember being around 13 or 14 and going for my first conference, and then seeing their youth conference, and then seeing live worship for the first time. And I was like, what is it? How did they do that? Like, they play live and they worship and they sing. That sounds amazing. I want it. And I remember that back in that time, I was like just working a little bit on my piano skills, you know, playing random secular song. Like, I was playing Adele, Someone Like You, just like random.
How old are you at this point?
I started playing with a keyboard when I was 11, 12, just a little bit, just by myself, like random things. Because my mom used to play like Ethiopian music. Mm-hmm. So we had that at home. So just playing with a keyboard. But when I really started like taking it to the worship, and I was like 13, 14, I saw it the first time. I said, I want to play that like that. It was like big youth conference in Israel. I want to do that. And I started training, and I met one guy. His name is Sasha. He's my piano teacher, used to be. And he just invested in me. Like, and I was going, driving there, and just like trying to work on songs with him. And sooner or later, like 1 year later, I was already playing with a band in the conference.
Wow.
God just blessed that talent and just pushed me, and that led me to lead worship, sing. Suddenly I start singing. Suddenly I start playing the guitar. Suddenly just
kept things coming.
Fell into place. And like when I was 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, I was going to say, how did that like progress into you being invited? Like, you've gone to Brazil, you've probably gone, traveled a ton of places. So how did that progress from just singing and worshiping in the church to people being like, hey, come to our church, we'll bless you?
Yeah. So it was a big shift though, because it was something that I was doing only on the side, you know. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's doing my thing, you know, going to whatever school and doing something, and then like worshiping in congregation, like on the weekends, you know. And I also had opportunity to play, like to sing on different like big concerts in Israel. This got views from all over the world, like
I see
180 countries from all over the world. So that got a lot of traffic from all over the world. And I was like, yeah, it was something on the side. As I got to the military, you know, in Israel, when you got to 18, you got to the military. It was also something that I did simultaneously. Military, sometimes when I had opportunities to go play somewhere and lead worship in conferences and stuff, was something that going on.
What has been like, how has it been received here? Like, how has doing worship, you know, singing about, you know, Jesus, like, how has that been an issue? Has it been weird? Like, have you had any sort of like weird stories with like people not liking it?
Some people, yeah, most of people I think are unaware of this.
Of what you're singing about.
Of worship. Like, yeah, because they don't really get exposed to it. Yeah. You know? And I believe if people were going to hear, for instance, songs for Jesus, it's going to be of sound, you know, for instance, singing psalms, that's what we love. Like the body, body of Christ here, they love singing psalms. We love singing psalms, but we're singing, our music composition is like a little bit different than how the Jewish people
sing. Oh, interesting. How is it different?
Just like the musical genre, because a lot of the American worship, CCM, Christian contemporary music really affected the Messianic Jewish body in Israel. So many of the songs of, like, we're singing psalms in Hebrew, but it's really the music is really affected by the Christian contemporary music. So it sounds, for instance, I had like one song that I sang, it was Psalm
America, baby, America. Yeah.
I sang Psalm 113, and I had like Orthodox guys in my team in the military. They were like, yeah, guys, they were like 30 something. They had children, and they're like really mature people. I really love those guys, really cool guys. And I shared with them the tune, and it was like they were listening to it. It was like, wow, that's interesting. I never heard this kind of vibe to those words. Like, I sang it in a way that was interesting to them. I less show them the songs that I sang, Jesus, Yeshua, because it probably would be weird for them. But sometimes I did. But mostly psalms and stuff that they can relate to. They have, that we have a common ground or something. And they really liked it, but it was different for them. It was something new. It was like the way that,
Americanized. American. All the gospel.
The gospel. The gospel is not in Israel yet. The gospel genre.
Like the American black, soul.
I'm trying to bring it here a little bit, you know. And
that would shake up Israel, bro.
Yes,
that'd
sir.
Be so cool.
And actually, the Israelis, they love this genre. And nobody really does it here. Like,
maybe. Yeah, I think it'd be cool.
It's a good opportunity to do it.
Let me know. I'll invest somehow. I don't know how I will, but
yeah.
What is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you on stage?
I went to stage and I forgot that my pants weren't there.
No
way. Just kidding. No.
Okay. No. I was gonna say you're too cool. I think. You know. I don't know.
No. The most embarrassing thing. It's hard, bro.
It's hard you can't pick one, or like I don't think like I don't, it's never happened to you.
Never happened to me yet.
Never had an issue. Hey, God bless. We're gonna do a small segment of Rapid Fire.
Oh, maybe I took my guitar and I hit my friend or something accidentally.
Does that happen?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's not that bad.
That's not that bad. No.
What is the most important lesson you've learned as a musician?
Wow. I believe as a worship leader, you know, I'm being not just a musician that come to do music. It's not only, we use music. We have the presence of God, even without the music. We don't need the music, but the music is a tool to get people involved and also lead people in the presence of God to just have a moment, you know, special woman, just to bless and bless the name of the Lord, praise Him. And one of the big lessons is I've learned it very early, and I believe it's the key of just even though the lights are on you, you need to point to God
up
and fix your eyes on Him. And
have you seen that happen with like musicians you've seen where it becomes a little bit too much about them and not as much about God?
Yeah, but you can sense it, but I feel like sometimes you can't really know 100%
because for sure
you cannot know their heart for sure. But Jesus said, test them by their fruits. So this is one thing, but I'm just, without looking on anybody else, but looking on myself, I just check my heart always and try to see that I'm not doing this for anybody else but God. I am doing this for His glory. The worship I do, the things that I'm trying to build and do something, is not building my kingdom. Try to build His kingdom. And also, not only looking app, it's also looking on the band that with me, because we are together in this. We are leading the people together and serving.
Do you have a band
to,
that you work with every time?
Not always, but I have like different players that I pick to different like.
Mm. Like you have your roster, like first draft.
I don't know if that's how I'm gonna say that, bro. But you know,
like if you're not available, I'll do the backup. You don't do that.
There is one guitar player that can be replaceable. His name is David. He's like, okay, he's a legend. But you know, just fixing your eyes on God, being with a band, and also I had the lesson of like being really intentional with the crowd.
Yeah.
And seeing what God wanna do. Sometimes it's really hard for me to pick up the song list or pick up the anything, because I need to see, to feel like what God is wanna do in this specific group, because it sometimes can be really hard. Yeah.
Yeah, like you were telling me about like a performance you did where like they didn't even understand what you were saying.
Yeah.
But you had to like have them feel the Holy Spirit without without any words.
Yeah, that's
in Ukraine, right?
Yeah, you know, it was in Romania.
Romania.
It was, yeah. But some of the people came from Ukraine, actually. That was interesting. Mm. And they didn't understand the language, but just the spirit and the...
Yeah, I guess you don't need it.
You need to involve different things, even moving, you know?
I have friends that listen to like reggaeton.
Oh, yeah.
And like they don't understand what they're saying, but it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like... The music, I mean, people say, you know, music was made to glorify, like that was the purpose of it. That's how music started, was to glorify God. But it's funny, like once I started listening more to, you know, gospel music, like it seems kind of vain and silly it starts to become vain and silly to listen to other music. Cause I'm like, I'm listening to a guy sing about a girl that is a human that bleeds red, just like us, that's, you know, maybe loves him today, maybe doesn't, you know, that they will eventually, you know, I don't want to make it like dark, but you know, at the end of the day, it's like, if I'm singing along to this, if I'm listening, I think like the most beautiful and the beautiful thing is to listen to something that's about God.
Yeah.
You know, you're singing, you're feeling something.
So. Something that she's singing about, you know, sometimes, I don't want to get us confused, but some worship songs are really about, sometimes we're trying to sing about God, right? We're trying to point Him. But sometimes the worship industry or the worship thing, we sometimes point about us. So yeah. I worship you. All those kind of the language, which is like always pointing to Him though, but pointing to us, back to us. And sometimes you need to ask. I'm trying to, sometimes it's good, because sometimes you don't want to have only praise, worship music that is... Yeah.
Tell different angles.
Yeah, different angles. Sometimes you just want to have a prayer song that is, it's powerful to sing with the congregation, or prayer with, sing with people. But we need to differentiate sometimes. Am I pointing to Him, singing about Him? Or am I just lift him up myself in this, or yeah, I need to be really intentional,
careful
very for sure careful. But yeah, and I don't mean that singing about life and love is a bad thing, you know, but yeah, there's some certain degree of having spiritual songs about God. You know, the Bible encourages us to sing psalms, to sing praises.
Yeah.
There is a power
in and it, it's deep.
Like, and it's deep.
The Bible is deep. You can sing the same song and it'll be like, you'll see it from a different perspective, like a year, 2 years later.
It's like having, you know, people say that when you get to heaven, you're going to see, there's like, also the Bible says that you're going to have seen those angels saying in front of the throne of God, saying, holy, 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 right? Now you can think to yourself and say, how can they say all day long, holy, holy, holy? That sounds really boring, right? But if you change it and say, they're singing it and they say, holy, holy, you can do it almost forever.
Ooh, you better sing a song for us?
Come on.
live on the podcast? Wow,
I'm
thank you so much.
I'm afraid to say the wrong thing.
That's funny. What's your dream collaboration?
Wow. Dream collaboration?
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, bro.
Really?
That's the highest. Yeah.
But with gospel.
Yeah, with gospel, with gospel. Yeah. Not
the yummy, yummy. That's you want to collab on
praise the Lord now.
Okay. What were you always a Justin Bieber fan, even when he was doing secular music, or?
Yeah, I liked him. I liked his story. I liked, of course, you know, everybody has his highs and lows, but yeah, I really like his as a
musician.
He's had
a tough life.
Wow.
I mean, me living in Los Angeles, I'm going to be honest. He made it out pretty well compared to the things that I've seen, like going in that industry at the age that he did and where he is now, honestly, like, I mean, there's a stereotype with child stars, which is it does not end well.
Yeah.
And his story is actually, you know, he's married, he's chilling now. I mean, I'm sure it's not perfect. No one's life's perfect.
Struggles and crazy things, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you can pick your horror story of child stars.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty for a reason. It's very exploitative. It's very dark. Mm. You know, it's not meant for kids. It's way too, it's a big boy industry and kids are not, they're not built for it.
It's
really rough. It's very, very traumatizing. What's your message to your haters, man?
Wow.
Do you have haters? Are there haters? Do you think about your haters? I'll speak for you. I don't think you're like sitting every single day being like, man, like looking at a photo of like a hater.
Bro, I'm like, just like throwing
that. This is for you.
Wow, man. I believe anyone has haters. And I believe that as soon as you do something with your life, you're going to have, even if you don't do anything with your life, you're going to have haters. You know, Jesus had haters, right? And he said that if you're going to hate you, he first hated me.
Yeah.
You know, I bless my haters, but I don't really, I'm trying to not put too much of my energy or try to look at it or something. Just concentrate on my goal or God's purpose for my life and the intimacy with him and not think about it, because they're going to be there always.
Yeah, they're going to get worse too.
And no matter what, as soon as you grow, they're going to grow. And no matter what you're going to do, somebody is going to have something to say about it.
Yeah.
You got to accept this reality, because otherwise you're going to be stuck and you wouldn't be able to do anything with your life. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, like I've never really been the type of person to operate from that perspective. Like a lot of people, they operate from a perspective of trying to prove that particular person, those group of people wrong, and it motivates them. I think maybe I have like episodes of like thinking about that and it kind of motivates me a little bit, but not really. I operate more of from a desire perspective. Well, I want to do this. I want to accomplish this goal. I want to do this for my family. It'd be really cool to have this sort of influence and impact people in a positive way. But the perspective of like, yeah, I can't wait till I make it there and I can rub it in your face.
That's weird for me.
I don't know. That's really weird.
That mentality is like...
It's kind of dark.
It's dark, it's very depressing. It's weird and it's just like making it just for other people to look... Oh man, that's
some
so
people,
sad.
I mean, maybe some people, they were like really traumatized by that person. Yeah. And they're... That they can't get over it and they feel like that is the only thing that will make them feel whole inside. I don't know. But so you have a pretty big following on social media, on YouTube. You've done YouTube.
Yeah.
How do you think that plays a role as a musician? Like what dynamic does that play? Do you think it's important? Do you think not anymore? It was kind of a wave and it's kind of died down.
I believe it's really important. You know, because we live in a world that, you know, I remember being in the States and I went to the mall. Nobody was there.
What do you mean?
It was like ghost town.
Bro. Oh,
going there. I'm like,
here it's packed, kind of. I mean, yeah. People still show up.
Yeah, yeah, but I believe that something is going on, that everybody's just like in their homes, living in the new street, living on the internet and doing whatever. And the power of being an influencer online, I believe that the cards that are changing. Like if you were years ago, only a musician or artist or whatever, and you didn't have to like be too much on social networks and stuff. Today, it's something so essential that you're gonna be more influential by those things, being just like online and sharing your life and sharing your thoughts and using all of those tools to be noticeable and just being able to affect that many people. So I believe that the platform that I have, it's giving me a really big advantage to share my music, but also share who I am to people and just be there. Because, you know, using social networks sometimes can just consume a lot of your time.
And bad time.
Yeah. I'm sure you watching this, maybe it's your
time. Maybe you should get to work.
Yeah. Leave this podcast and get to work, or just put it.
But like and subscribe first.
Yeah.
And write a comment.
Yeah, and turn on the notification button. Yeah, okay. Let's
do it. What would you say? First question is, I'll just make it the only question. What would you say to yourself I'll combine the two questions. What would you say to your younger self?
Yeah.
To motivate, to give advice, like what is the advice that you would give that you really needed at that time when you're younger? I mean, you're pretty young still. You're 24.
Yeah, I'm 23.
Dang.
I was like, I'm 24. Young. No, I'm 23. Sheesh, I'm not yet.
Man. Yeah, you're killing it. But what would you give five minutes ago when you were young? Like what's advice that you would give yourself when you're maybe younger?
You know, that this is one of the questions that I love asking older people. I had a lot of older friends and was like asking this question, what would you say to yourself if you were my age? What would you say? And I got I heard so many good things and I...
What's some good ones?
Yeah, but I would say that if I look at myself and say to myself is like maybe enjoy the season that you are in. I was maybe a little bit sometimes trying to get to the next phase of like overthinking about the next step. So I wasn't really living
in the moment
that much and just getting like caring, like being 12 years old and thinking, yeah, 12, man, 12. And thinking, yeah, I'm going to go and be a software developer. So I'll be able to financialize myself and be able to be, financially free and just do whatever. And but you know, you just need to enjoy the seasons in your life. And like, oh, so now I'm in school. So if you're watching and you are in school, study, but also spend time with your friends. This is a good time to spend time with your family, friends. And if you are in college, you know, spend time, you know, live and don't try to over push things in your life. I don't mean by not going hard on making things. Like if you have on your heart, yeah, I'm going to open a YouTube channel. Yeah, go open a YouTube channel and put 100% on it and try your best. But just live every season in your life and not focus on the next one. Because you're always going to be on the way to something. you're always going to be in the move, in the progress of something. And most of your life, you're going to be on the way to something. So if you're on the way to something, always, so live the moment.
Yeah, it's true. It's the journey, not the destination.
Yes, sir.
That's something that I definitely had, like, I think I had a good grasp of it for sure, maybe a little bit too much in the moment.
Yeah.
But I always was confused as how people, when they graduate high school, a lot of people, they would, and this is America, as far as America, they would be like, oh, hey, what are you gonna major in? What job do you want? I'm like, dude, these guys are 18, bro. Like, you don't have to have your whole life figured out. Yeah. What you want to do by the time you're,
this is what I thought, 18, that age.
I mean, exactly.
That's my mentality.
It's hilarious. And then
relax,
you get out,
bro.
You rushed, you did the major that you thought you wanted. You rushed, man. You're 22 now, you're out of college, let's say, in America. And now guess what? You have 60 years.
Wow.
To figure out, maybe the next 5 years you figure out what you want to do. Or you did the quote unquote right thing and you got that accounting degree, the engineering degree that you don't even really like.
Yeah, I am talking about career.
You're trying to
stuff.
Be safe.
Like,
yeah.
Try things.
Yeah, why not? You have to. And then pick your path. I mean, that's what I think. You should pick your path and go for it. You know,
go for it. Yeah.
That's what I think. Like that. I mean, that was my journey. I wanted to get into a media advertising, videography stuff. So it's a climb, but you know, for me, I got plenty of time. It's not like I'm trying to be an NBA player, you know, then it's like, you're limited. That time's passed, especially now, man, bro. My knees, I'm not good. How do you balance family time, you know, friends time and what you do? Is it hard or is it kind of intertwined?
You know, it's always been hard for me to have the right balance, because you know this saying that when you do something that you love, you will never work one day in your life or something.
Yeah,
I really love what I'm doing, so sometimes I can, I would have seasons that I only do this, that I don't care about anything else. But sometimes we have off seasons that I won't be too much into that work. And actually miss what I need to do, just spend time with friends and family. But I believe the key things in this specific area is just like to set time for this, like schedule, like work with the calendar, that's for sure. But if you're like, it's important for you to spend time with your friends, like work on it. Call them, schedule it, like work, you know.
As you get older, it's going to get worse.
You know, what is better? No call or schedule call, you know?
Yeah, schedule call. I mean, this is going to be normal by my age. I'm 28 now.
Yeah.
You're going to be scheduling calls. That's scheduling, great. I mean, scheduling time to hang out, of course, but scheduling calls, because you have to. I mean, life gets busy. You start to add responsibilities. You start to add career stuff. And things get pushed to the side. It's not, we're not kids where be like, hey, is Johnny home? Remember those days?
I just
realized like that will never happen. Like with phones, like that never happens.
Bro, anymore. That hit me, bro. I remember.
Is Johnny home? And then like the mom's like, I don't like it when you hang out with Yoel, but I guess I'll let you hang out with him.
And she thinks that he's the one that's drawing you to the bad places.
I know.
But you are the bad one.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm the bad apple. It's always the other kid that's bad. It's never your kid.
According to every mom.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. Was it weird growing up here? I've told this on other podcasts. I was born here. I left here when I was 7 and I came back to live here like 3 months ago. How was it living here? Was it like, and even in regards to the conversation and the topic we were talking about with regards to Jesus, was it like something that you kind of had to hide in your back pocket as far as the fact that you follow Jesus? Mm-hmm. Or was it something that if people ask, you were comfortable saying?
Yeah.
What was that dynamic like? Because a lot of the things that I've been having to figure out lately is how do I navigate the dynamic of who I am? Because yes,
I'm a ton of things. Like now, I'm an American that just moved here, but also born here. That's Jewish.
To be honest, you're really cool, Jesus, in my opinion.
I appreciate that, but sometimes it's confusing. You know, sometimes I don't know how to, you know, this isn't like a pity party. I'm just saying, to be as respectful for me, I want to be as respectful mm-hmm. as possible. I don't want to make people feel weird. I don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm trying to figure out how much tolerance there is, or if I'm being disrespectful, if I'm bringing up something that is maybe offensive. So what is the general, I guess, consensus as far as how to navigate this thing?
You know, pinpointing on specifics, it's really hard, and telling you how to behave in different case scenarios, you know, but just generally speaking, is that Israel is very warm culture, and you know, you walk in the streets, you can start a conversation with somebody and he will actually interact with you.
Yeah, it's not weird. Like in America and like Europe, you literally will have a conversation. There's a good probability if you did that in America or in Europe, they will feel uncomfortable having a conversation.
Yeah,
with
you. It's crazy.
Here it's like you have you bring up something or you start a conversation, it's like what?
Yeah.
They're like, what's up?
What's up, bro?
It's in America or other countries, they feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Two, they're like, why is this person talking to me? They're scared.
Yeah. They want to get something from you or
yeah. The best is they're nervous. The worst is they're scared. But that's usually how it is.
So Israel
is different.
So Israel has a really good balance in that. You know, I've been to Brazil, but Brazil was more. They were even more warm.
More warm.
It was crazy for me as Israeli. There's more. I was like, okay.
And there's more. Like in the infomercials.
Yeah. But then, like, I believe that time will do that. Just as you spend time here, you know, you just moved here. But just as time goes, you will probably learn more. You will figure out just like social norms and things that you can follow. But sometimes you can have your own way, you know. Some people may not follow a specific way of doing things, but you can bring your own way. People will like it, you know, because some people, may be shy or whatever. Just can
it helps yourself. that I'm American too.
Yeah.
Because people are more like, okay, like it's open. Not a threat.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I don't know why.
American
like,
is the
Yeah, people are like, list. You're American. Like, they love it. They open up to you. I'm like, What did the guy say it when we were talking? He's like, he's the guy that ran the falafel. No, it wasn't falafel. It was like a hummus. I've never had this. What's it called that we had today?
The sabich. Eggplant.
So it's like eggplant. And he was like, Los Angeles, the rich people. I was like, nah, not everyone, dog. But he was like super, he became very different when he saw me speaking English, which is refreshing, you know. You know, it's cool. Just a lot of different dynamics in play. Mm. I think that's what's going to make this, you know, next couple dozen episodes a little bit unique. But, you know, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah,
I think I have a feeling we'll come back on at some point.
I would love to, man.
We talk pretty often. Thank you guys for listening. Like, subscribe, you know, leave a comment if like you need clarity, if you want to start a dialogue, if you want, you know, any sort of like information about any of this like kind of history or the dynamic or what it means, because it's honestly confusing to me and I am that thing. And I've had to do my own research and figure things out and learn a lot about myself. And I'm constantly growing and constantly learning. So don't feel shy. Don't feel rude for asking questions or anything like that. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching.
Peace.